Joshua chapter 14, verses 2 to 16. But due to the time constraints, although there's a second reference, but I'll just dwell on the first text. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who sent up with me made the heart of the people melt." In other words, it's a discouraging report. "But I wholly followed the Lord, my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive." And he said, "These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel was wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and becoming, and for coming in." In other words, what he's saying is his strength when he was 40 years old, sent by Moses to spy out the land of Canaan, is still strong. He is still as strong and ready for war. And he followed the Lord, never deflecting, never surrendering his soul to the influence of the world. And verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain on which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there." The Anakim are the descendants of these Anaks, you know. It was the giants that were there spying in Numbers chapter 14. You can see there as well in Numbers. And that the cities were great and fortified. "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, and the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of the Hebron formerly was Kirjat Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakims, or the giants that they spied. Then the land addressed from war. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this reading of your word. May thy word, O Lord, bring that testimony of full deliverance from thy guidance and the complete trust and obeying of thy command to this man, to this your servant, through Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. And even the 10 tribes, other tribe of Israel, Lord, they gave a report that will please the people about the abundance and the promising supply that they saw. But they were afraid of the inhabitants. They were discouraged. And they were looked upon, and they considered themselves as grasshoppers before their eyes. And the people, O Lord, melted with discouragement. And the people refused to possess the land. O Lord, have mercy, that even in the face of this great leadership, how you have supplied their needs, thy people Israel, they are about to possess the land. And thank you, O Lord, that in spite of their negative reports about the giants that will prevent their possession of the land, although they are majority of these people, of these tribes of Israel, feel that there is a great abundance there, but they did not remember, O Lord. They forget thy great leadership, thy great blessing, thy deliverance from Egypt, from that cruel suffering in Egypt. They forget how you divided the sea, O Lord, the mightiest display of your power and your providence that will pave the way to the land of promise. Lord, forgive us that in our lives, that the blessing of abundant life in the land of Canaan that you preparing for us, we confess that because of the hard trials that we face day by day, the demands of our work, the demands of our family, the demands of self-awareness, of acceptance before man, the things that this world pull us from thy perfect following of the will, the promising processions of this world will never satisfy us, O Lord, grips our hearts sometimes. Forgive us from these things. And that's why, Lord, we don't want to possess the land, as if we want to stay here in this world forever. Thank you that there is a land of Canaan in heaven through thy servant, the suffering servant, our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that he finished that sacrifice for us. And thank you that you have chosen us, not only to spy this whole world and share the promising deliverance from their agony of sin. Lord, help us that you can use us to conquer this world, the lost souls in this world, for your glory, for the deliverance of these people, that they may enter the land of promise, the land of eternal life in heaven, through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. May this be our motive in listening to this word, O Lord, this evening. Bless our hearts, O Lord, that we may see you ushering in the promised land, where souls can be saved in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Remove every obstacle of unbelief in our hearts, O Lord. And the attraction of this world that slows us down. The love of sin. The presumptuousness of sin. The presumptuousness of self-belief, O Lord, which never satisfies. Even the things of this world that put us at the pedestal of this world's promising. it doesn't matter. It is of no consequence. It's just like chasing the wind. Lord, may this truth about Caleb will transform our thinking in serving you into a life of surrender. Victorious surrender in serving you and in following you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As I was reflecting on this text, because of the faithfulness of Caleb, I was thinking in possessing the land of promise, Canaan. I was thinking when I was at the age of 13, I was given a book. Norman Vincent Peale, I think, is the author. There were there is an illustration there, a story that they sent two types, two groups of salesmen in Africa. I forgot which part of Africa, but they sent these two groups of best salesmen that the company of making shoes out to actually claim most of Africa to learn to make people feel the need of, you know, wearing shoes rather than walking with their bare foot. Well, the first people who saturated their assignment, they did all what they did in presenting their product, but they came up to all one conclusion, this first group, and they said, we cannot go back to our company and convince them that these people will wear shoes because everybody is not wearing shoes. They use their barefoot in walking. But the other group, as they walk to their assignment, and people, most of the people they met on the street, they don't have shoes, they are of the belief that, look, this is an opportunity for our company to sell shoes. We will attempt to make them realize they need shoes. Of course, when they returned back, they gave this report. And they told that, well, most of African nation needs the shoes because they don't have shoes. And therefore, we can sell billions and millions of shoes. And the company bought that idea. And they sell shoes to Africa. What I'm saying here is that the thought tonight is that there is a land promise to the people of Israel that they are about to possess. And yet, most of the tribes, the tribal leaders that were chosen by Moses, reported a negative report. They said, the land is rich with milk and honey, but the people there are big, are massive. They will conquer us, you know. We cannot overcome them. And of course, you know the story. They consider themselves as grasshoppers before them. They're tiny speck before them with these giants. But Caleb says, no, let's possess the land quickly, right now. Because God is with us. God can enable us to possess the land. And of course, as you have come to that report, but in spite of this, majority of the leaders of the tribes of Israel, I became faithful. Holy, I faithfully follow the Lord and His promises. Today we are going to put our thoughts on that. We are going to think of the victory so that we can draw lessons while we are in this part of the world in which God gave us in proclaiming the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are these people conquerable? in spite of their opposite belief in God? Remember, there were idol of worship there in Canaan. The Jebusites, the Hivites, the Kenizzites. There are lots of idol worship. And yet, they believed that the God of Caleb, the God of Joshua, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham can conquer these people. Do you believe that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can conquer this? Can conquer this multicultural community, majority of which are in the hardcore teaching of Islam, which is being supported in some ways by the government, that if we will tell them they are going to hell because of their unbelief, we will put to prison. Again, that is another threat in the land that we are facing. It's still comparable. Do we believe that God can transform these people's mind? First of all, let alone that, but what about our faith in Christ? Do we believe that our faith in Christ, the power of Christ, can transform our thinking into believing that God can use our faithful witness in this world or in this area of unbelief? Do you believe that, like Caleb, we can conquer the land? Well, that's a challenge. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, had a positive report. Let's possess the land quickly, because I remain faithful before God, and He was with me. He not only wanted that God had prepared for him, he also was determined to seize the opportunity. When we read the Word of God like this, what comes to your mind? Well, you can think about the past experience and even the present response of the gospel. The Jews as well, we are trying to pray about as well, isn't it, brother? Mm-hmm. Only few Jewish people. I was subject to a lot of dehumanizing cursing of one Jewish man in the Philippines. We are witnessing with a military man. We are giving him track, and he shouted at us, "Rubbish," he said. "Get away from me. Don't even show yourself to me again." The attitude of people around us is more than that. It is unbelief. You know, the name Caleb means, according to the Hebrew word that I discovered, it means with all heart, the wholehearted response. It means like, in the Greek, it's like a puppy dog who is aware of the master's command, his whistle. The dog is always so quick to look at the eyes of his master and do what the master is bidding him to do. This is what Caleb means. He's always aware of God's leadership and command, the motion of God's direction, where he will go. Caleb is willing to seize every opportunity and faithfully follow the Lord. So tonight I invite you to see three things which will encourage us to have a result from our life, a life of full surrender in the life of Caleb. First, the victory of a spared life. You will notice there in verse 10 of chapter 14, you will try to look at that. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." In other words, he spared life. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am, this day, 85 years old. is still strong as he can be. Strong not because of his physical strength, but because he trusted in the Lord. He obeyed God's bidding in his life. Just like what I already mentioned about that puppy dog. He's always aware of the eyes of his master. And he's always ready to do what the master bids him to do. This is Caleb. And he had a life of a victory of a spirit life. He was spared from discouragement. For when discouragement threatened the people of God, you know, the discouragement that he received is from the majority of the leaders of the tribes of Israel. All the land is filled with milk and honey and the produce. But the people are big. Oh boy, we cannot overcome them. That's discouragement. That is actually surrendering your hands to the Anakims or to the Anakim of discouragement. So when discouragement threatened the people of God, he could say like Caleb, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord." You see the discouragement there he mentioned? But in spite of this negative report, I follow the Lord and I believe his promise that he can conquer with me the land of unbelief. The land that is promising as well in produce. But most of all, in which God will dwell with them forever. Not only was he spared from discouragement, that present day, which is discouragement, is our present enemy, especially for Christian workers and the leaders of the church and the pastors. There can be discouragement in the face of big expectation of preaching in a small group like we are, or perhaps overwhelmed by the demands of the task of preaching the gospel that will push the people of God in believing with him, in believing with the command of God that we can conquer the land and present the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope of this majority of these people in our community. If there is one thing more than another that is stopping blessings in our church, like blessings of more attendance in this whole land of the United Kingdom, and specifically in the Tower Hamlets, in which the few of us chosen, the only obstacle for God to help us conquer the land is unbelief. Like for instance, these people, there's a lot of terrorists here. These people are antichrist. They just attack the Bible. They just say a lot of things about hypocrisy of the Christians. That your Bible is not the real one. Our Bible is the only real Bible or the real book of God. That a lot of Christians are hypocrites. They mention this again and again against us. But again, have we forgotten that we have been washed by the blood of the Lord? Have been washed by the blood of the Lamb? We have been bought with a price? And that even the seemingly unconquerable sin of our lives have been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ by breathing life into us and make us believe that he is the only way, the truth, and the life, that in him there is redemption through his precious blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. We forgot that God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, can do the most impossible thing. We are only His mouthpiece, but He will do the rest. And when these people are increasing in number, and you can see them on the streets, majority of the school nowadays are occupied before, right, by white heirs. Now, mostly with black ears. And people can easily change their attitude towards them because of the equal treatment of the government that they give. That's negative. Oh, they are always claiming a lot of things. Unbelief. We lost track of our mission to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We lost track of the power of God to save to the uttermost. And we are listening to different voices of the world around us. The attack and the overwhelming attack of Islam against Christians. And the fear of being put to jail, if we call them liars or hardcore terrorists. But of course you will not call them that, isn't it? You will call them according to what the Bible called them. They consider us as their enemy. But we shall consider them as subjects of the love of Christ. Subjects of the grace of Christ. You see where unbelief can be overtaken easily by the love of Christ? Dearly beloved, let not unbelief prevent us to doing the will of God, like Caleb, to possess the land for God's kingdom. I know this is a great difficulty. The first two pastors were all telling, and others as well with the same community of Islamic people, all this is a hard area. This is a hard area. But is that really impossible with God? God asked Ezekiel, can these bones, dead bones, make alive again? Yes, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. Dear beloved, we forget that the God that we serve, that the God who saves us, controls every event of our lives. We forget that. We forget the truth. The greatest lie that the devil has instituted in the minds of Eve and Adam. Did God really say that you will not eat of this fruit? God says that. Adam says, responds Eve. Yes, of course, we will not eat that because the moment we eat of it, we will surely die. Ah, the response of the evil one, the author of heinous crimes all over the world and every day, and future crimes, is the devil. Did God really say? Oh, if you only eat that, you will become like God. We believe what the devil, mostly what the devil is saying to us. That's why prayer is so important. I just sometimes I have to apologize, I have to say sorry to the one who love prayer so much. And I know to those who does not believe in prayer, they feel that prayer is a killjoy, because we are stopped from doing what we want to do for ourselves. There's a lot of people in the Philippines as well. They don't like to preach 30 minutes. They want to stay in 15 minutes. And they don't want to hear the word of God. They just want more prolonged worship. You know, the repetitious music and loud music that will give them preparation to worship God. But that's not the case. There's no more real preaching of the word of God. There's more emotional experience, actually, that's going on. This is what the people need. This is what the people demand. They actually dictate what the preacher has to preach. What a sad commentary. Anyway, the first elements of surrendered life is not only a victory of spirit life, but also the victory of a strong life. How our Lord longs for spiritual, mature young men and women today, when they can be in the forefront of a difficult task. There's no easy task that the Lord gave. Remember, it's not a difficult task. What the Lord Jesus experienced, he mentioned to his disciples, they will also experience it. There will be tribulations that you have never seen before. And the tribulation is right now staring at each one of us. The threat of being put to jail if we continue to preach the gospel of truth. And most of our leaders doesn't want to hear the truth. There's a book that was written to convince Christians in the church in America that they want positive thinking in achieving their goals, especially their leadership as a church. If you are depressed, you know, just drink and do this advice of this book. There must be some elements of what they call lack of minerals in your brain. Take amino acids and other add vitamins, and that will take care of the problem. However, if you have a negative thoughts in your mind, say to yourself, stop. Or cancel. Just like the computer, if you made a mistake, press cancel, isn't it? I think that's the word they suggest. If you have negative thoughts towards other people, say cancel. It doesn't work that way. The only way that works is the way of God, which God says in His Word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And if you want to know the secret of a strong, victorious life, is follow what Caleb did, which is in verse 11 of chapter 14. And yet, as I am strong this day, as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. So what he's saying, Caleb is strong in the Lord. In other words, it's not because he memorized scriptures, he always go to the temple just for the sake of going to the temple every day to visit the house of God. But there is a real business with God in going to the temple, to be instructed in the Word of God. What did I say to you chapter 27, I think, the last, is that one thing I have desired of the Lord, and look after or seek after, is what? To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. To me, the victorious life of Caleb and his strong life and his spared life is based on the fact that he longed to be in deep, delightful communion with God, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, to cry before God the demands of His leadership, the people's cry and complaints before Moses, that He can convince them through His example of faithfully following the Lord and staying in His faith in the promises of God. Now, we call in verse 12 that Caleb drove three sons of Anak in verse 12. Let's read it. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. The Anakims were the descendants of these three sons of Anak, which was named in the book of Numbers chapter 14. And first the story began in chapter 13 and verse 14. You will see the names there. But these Anakims are the descendants of these giants. And that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, but I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. In other words, he remained faithful to the promises of God. That's the secret. How to remain victorious, to have a spared life in the land of promise, and the land of danger that surrounds us, and to be a victorious, strong life. It did not only depict the giants of worldly lust of the eyes, but he also defeated the worldly prominence, which is the pride of life. That jealous self-style which asserts itself. The pride of life is longing for more. Longing for recognition, prominence in the leadership of life, in the society. It is natural, and I realize, and you realize yourself, that pride of life, although we are Christians, can claim that prominence in our lives. The prominence of our role in society. We cry for, sometimes, you know, for positions that people will look at us with pride. Popularity. This self-seeking is not only outside the business world, but it's in the church. And it calls for parading of self-accomplishment and publicize itself within and outside the church. There are a lot of people nowadays, as I told you, people, deacons are actually dictating what the pastor will preach. And if you don't do what they like, and you can see a recommendation for sacking the minister. They are now doing this to ministers, if you don't conform. Do you know that the victory over these giants of pride of life, unbelief? Caleb, even at the age of 85 years old, he remained faithful. It is written that he drove thence the three sons of Anak. He could fight victoriously because he faithfully, what? Stick to the promise of God. The Lord is God. And in conclusion, I would like not only to allow you to observe that Caleb not only knew the victory of spared life and a strong life, he also developed or experienced the victory of a satisfied life. At the end of chapter 14 of this chapter, we read, we have illustrated the ingredients of satisfied life. Joshua blessed him. Let's see that word there. And the name of Hebron was Kirjat Arba, which was the greatest man among Anakim. Well, let's go back. Verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And then the Lamb, a dress from war. And verse 13, by the way, that's the verse I'm looking for. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. You know, the word bless is not just a blessing pronounced. It is a blessing promised by God through Moses. If God's people will remain faithful. The challenge tonight is not the issues that we face every day. The difficulty of the land, the difficulty of the people, the threat of Islam, or what the people may say against us, banging the door against us, putting the trust or the trust that we're giving to the people, and we just see people never give this track again to me, or we see always don't put junk mails to every door. Does that discourage you? When I see them, the Lord teach me, no, this is not a junk mail. Try it. This will revolutionize your thinking. This will actually do you good to your soul. Well, whatever the response to that, we just have to pray for them after that. Yes, we can enter into the promised land. We can enter into that experience which ceases to allow us to strive and struggle. And I believe that we are all struggling because of the difficulties that we face. The radical Islam, the type of government that we have, the softness of the law being applied, and the fear of our lawmakers, of those leaders in society, what criminals will do to them. But they all bow down to the demands and cries of criminals. Are we affected by this? Anyway, even some people who are actually holding to this theological understanding, anyway, the Lord has chosen them. Therefore, we don't have to witness to them because they already chose, God already chosen them. But to me, that is futile understanding of that verse. Christ commanded his disciples to go into the world and share the gospel. But let us not be tricked by those who say, because they were already chosen, let not we witness to them. That's wrong. Beloved, do you know anything about this life of Caleb? A life from which he knows how to be spared from this negative report or voices from the community in which we live, because it's a wicked nation, it's a wicked city in which we live. He not only had the victory of a strong life and victory of satisfied life, we can also ask God actually to have those victory of a fuller, dedicated and surrendered life. Perhaps we are struggling whether we can actually constantly and actually maintain that kind of life. God can, we can't. I tell you this, we can. If we will do it with our strength. If we will continue to just intermittently pray for the mission of the church, for God's work. If we will just intermittently do what we want to do. Let's pray for God's people, like Caleb, to pray in their hearts, to truly what we desire for them. We will also be willing to be used by God in meeting that needs. We cannot just expect people to do that, but we are the one in answer to their prayer, to their needs. That's how Caleb is. He saw the negative reports of this fellow tribal people, but because of unbelief, because of listening more to the voice of negative report, the voice of the devil, the majority voice of the people, the majority report of the leaders of the church, sometimes we succumb to surrender, not to follow the will of God, not to follow the Great Commission, but to follow what the will of few people. Well, remember that God is looking for men like Caleb and women like Caleb who will follow him. He's seeking for believers, men and women, who like Caleb will yield their lives as instruments of righteousness unto God. Remember, God cannot use us without holiness in our lives. We can easily say that, preachers can easily say that, but they also look righteousness, holiness in our lives before people can believe what he's doing, what we are concerned about for saved souls. Thank God that we have such a church that pray to the uttermost. Let's continue to pray that this will continue to grip our hearts like Caleb. In other words, that we will follow the Lord continuously all the days of our lives without submitting to unbelief, to prominence of self, and the voice of self-seeking. Let's pray that we can overcome all these hurdles, all these difficulties that the world is presenting against us, and that even the news that we read around us, but all the more believe that we can say with Caleb, we can possess the land. We can claim the souls for Christ, and God will save them. Let's pray together. Let's commit ourselves together tonight, that whatever that slows us down because of unbelief, because of selfishness, because of self-directed achievement that you want to achieve for yourself, and missed opportunities that the Lord gave to us, let's confess all of this, that the Lord will commit our individual response, our individual hearts, in trusting and obeying. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray now and commit ourselves to the Lord, and let's confess every form of sin that slows us down, sin that we continuously do in our lives, and even sin of unbelief and prayerlessness and lack of communion with God. This is what Caleb constantly desired in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to dwell in his house and to inquire in his temple. Heavenly Father, as we are now praying before thee at the throne of your grace, please help us in this great dire need of each one of us, wanting to be made useful in thy kingdom with results that glorify thy name, that make us satisfied like Caleb, that we will depend upon thee alone, not upon our own strength and our own plans. I pray that you will teach us to commune with thee and to behold the suffering servant who died for our sin. May we be like him, dear Father God, your beloved Son, to cry for the needs of our times, the needs of our church, for a Caleb-like and Christ-like response in the needs of modern times, in the needs of the people, the salvation of their soul through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Father God, that you have mercy and gracious to meet the desires of our hearts. now that we have committed ourselves unto thee. May you please be merciful and gracious to meet this need of our hearts and each one of us, uniting together, O Lord, in praying for souls to be saved and praying for one another to be stirred up in our faith so that we can do thy work together with real concern and resting in thy grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.